we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Pretty good week in the market. Dow Jones up 5.7%. The S&P index up 4%. NASDAQ up 2.2%. And the MSCI EAFE up 4.9%. Bonds slightly up about 1.5%. And oil up 3.7%, settling at $88.19 a barrel. So where are we year-to-date right now? We've seen an interesting rally last couple weeks, certainly capped off yesterday. But overall, why is the Dow and the EAFE so forth doing better, say, than the S&P or the NASDAQ, which is still in bear market territory? Remember, if you're down over 20%, still in a bear market. So I'm going to call this the tale of two markets. For those of you who are fans of that story, well, the S&P 500 has been little changed when you look at it on a year-to-date basis as compared to the Dow. And why is that? Well, that's because the S&P has a pretty heavy weighting in tech. And since tech earnings have weighed on the index and the NASDAQ, as we just said, the reality is that beyond the tech sector, the performance of the market's been pretty decent. And so when you look at the performance gap, say, between the SPY, these are symbols I'm throwing off now, and the RSP, SPY, which mirrors the S&P 500 and has tech as its largest allocation, is essentially flat since Monday, while RSP, which is the equal weight version of the S&P 500, has rallied by a little over 3% over the week. And that's because earnings from traditional sectors like industrials, financials, consumer staples, well, they've been pretty good, better than feared. And so the performance right now shows an important point, which is that tech may still be vulnerable to more declines. But the more traditional parts of the economy, including sectors like low value, they're proving pretty resilient and they're able to hold up through what we've seen has been a pretty rough market. So stepping back, this market and the economy more broadly is starting to remind me of, you may remember 2000 to 2002. We're setting up for that right now, which is, you may remember, the dot-com bust where we had extreme tech weakness. And this weighed on all the major indexes, but your more traditional parts of the market and the economy did a little better overall. So bottom line, earnings season right now is continuing to advance. We're just about through it. And if you've had overweight exposure to defensive sectors, low volatility stocks, value, and as we approach what will likely be more deterioration after the election, then I continue to think that those sectors are some of the best ways to maintain exposure in the market while still trying to protect yourself on the downside. And so if you're going to be looking at tech at all, well, maybe a dollar cost average in. There's certainly some great names out there. I've gotten beaten up with their earnings as they come out. It's impossible to pick the bottom. But if you look at the Russell 2000 overall, these tech-heavy NASDAQs, et cetera, are down still pretty good, still in bear market territory. So there could be some real value there for you. Now, the next question I got, which was pretty good, is how far do I think this relief rally, which is what you could call this, is going to go? And so if you look at the market and where it closed, of course, I'll give you some technical numbers to write down and think about. So in the near term, because we just got over 3901 on the S&P 500, in the near term, look for 3910. And then the next one would be 4009, and then above that would be 4149 as levels that could see this rally that we're really in right now start to fizzle. And so there is evidence that a tradable bottom is out there. We just don't know where yet. But again, in a minute, I'll give you some things to think about there. On the downside for the S&P 500, right now, 3500 is a pretty good support level, 3500 to 3600. That's the key support. And again, if something happened there, we have some problems. But overall, let's talk about the economy and economics and what's going on with inflation. Because I'm starting to see some signs that the Fed rate hike is actually helping And so we need to see more of that for this to actually call a bottom. So right now, the housing price update. We saw this past week the Case-Shiller Home Index come out. And year over year, the index is on its way down. It's been pretty significant. So we've seen prices on homes start to fall nationally. And this isn't a reason to add stocks right now because of what I'm seeing here, as house prices are still substantially up. When you look year over year, they're still up around 13%, but the increases are going down. In other words, we're seeing a trend to start to go down. And over the next several months, what's going to happen as a result of this is it's going to put pressure on the consumer price index. Remember, that's the main catalyst that's propelled this market downward when those numbers come out and they're higher, right? Because it looks like inflation's going to be around longer. Housing is a pretty big percentage of the CPI. And since we're seeing that now start to go down, that's the first sign that inflation is declining and the economy is slowing down. So the home price data is pretty noticeable right now because it confirms that there's disinflationary forces right now that are building up in the economy. And while it'll take some time for that to show up in that CPI, it doesn't mean stocks have hit a bottom yet. But it does mean that inflation is starting to decline in the coming months and quarters. And for me, that's comforting. So what else is out there? Well, the house mortgage, right? What's driving this? I'm sure you saw the 30-year home mortgage went over 7% for the first time in 20 years. I mean, think about that. We haven't seen rates like this for a while. And so as you have these higher rates, people can't afford to go out and buy homes anymore, except for those who've got, you know, just bank. I mean, we're seeing these outrageous prices still in Marin, where you've got these people paying over $5 million for 2,800 square foot homes. And of course, it's all cash. And you're saying, what? Really? Okay. You're still scratching your head because just wondering. They're not financing that. I promise you that one. What else are we seeing in the economy this past week that is showing that inflation is starting to slow down? The other index that we look at, which the Fed's looking at as well, is something called new orders for non-defense capital goods ex-aircraft. NDCGXA, to abbreviate that one. And what that is in plain English, it's a proxy for businesses spending money. And that came out this past week, and it was a pretty big miss. In fact, it fell almost 1%, where the estimate was a gain of 0.2%. So again, we're seeing these numbers miss expectations. And that's a good thing when you're starting to think about inflation turning around, because what it basically says is that businesses may finally be pulling back on investment and spending. And that's a negative for the economy. That says that the economy is slowing down and the Fed is having an impact with all these rate hikes that they've been doing, and that perhaps this quantitative tightening that the Fed's been doing is starting to cool down a little bit. I don't expect it to slow down. I expect them to keep raising rates these next two turns, but we've got November coming up, then December, and they won't come back until March of next year. So again, I think as you look at this market overall and how long this could go, because that's what everybody wants to know, I think it's going to be 6 to 8 months at a minimum till we start to see that. So we got election coming up. Maybe we'll see some cooling going on. Overall, like I said, I think the S&P 500, which again is the broad index, I think that's got some more downward in it. How far down? It really depends on if we violate these support levels and there's momentum and there's bad news. That's really what's out there. And so again, if you see 3,400 in the S&P, don't be surprised. Again, that's a pretty big move from where we are today because we just went over 3,900. But I don't really see it going much above 4,000 to 4,100 on the upside. So that's sort of your range if you're, you know, looking at that sort of thing. But again, I encourage you to be a longer term investor and allocate your portfolio. And if you do that, you know, you could see even through a year like this where it's been pretty tough for bond stocks, et cetera, You should have done much better than your friends who say we're all in tech or all in international, et cetera. And so the other index too that I look at a lot, this is interesting on the income, bonds, et cetera, like that. You know, I talk a lot about the 10-2 spread, meaning the 2-year treasury as it relates to the 10-year treasury and how the 2-year is paying more interest than the 10-year. It's called inversion. And that still sits around 39 basis points, which is 0.39, less than 1%, less than 0.5%. But that spread has been getting more attention this week because the 3-month, which is the 3-month versus the 10-year, has also inverted recently, which historically the 3-month versus the 10-year is a better and more timely recession indicator. And the inversion of that, which just occurred, solidifies the expectation that a recession will be coming within the next 12 months. Now, I've been saying we're in a recession now. I think we still are. And of course, they're not calling it yet. And I think once they call it, it's too late. But right now, treasuries right now are confirming the sign of a bottom across the yield curve. And why you should care about that is if you're buying fixed income right now, even short-term fixed income, this might be the time to lock in those higher rates. Because again, once that bottom's reached, it's over, and rates will start to go down again on your fixed income, and then you've sort of lost out on that.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.